Hi, everybody. Welcome to Unredacted Town Hall VIP podcast from Kurt Schlichter, co-starring Irina Moises, who's here. And this is kind of weird because for the last, it looks to me like about 15 hours, we've been listening to podcasts. We are now, as we're talking, we are nearing Tucson, Arizona. We left Houston at about 3 a.m. The dogs are going crazy. We've been driving for 15 hours at an incredible rate of speed, and we've been listening to podcast after podcast after podcast, including Triggered, which is Storm and Matt's great podcast, and you can get it uncensored if you're a VIP member. So another reason to be a VIP member.
A fantastic reason.
Yeah. So I'm wow, I'm almost speechless. I'm almost podcasted out. We've had a lot of podcasts.
A lot.
We've done a lot of podcasts in here. There's the cast has been potted. I mean, the potted plant.
That's a lot.
That was a lot of podcasting. Holy cow. But big news. This week, the 25th, the new book drops. Los Angeles, Silver Bullets on the Sunset Strip. The new book by Irina and I. It is a novel. It is noir. It is action-packed. You must go pre-order it.
It's a fun story.
And you can get it in hardcover or paperback, too, on the 25th. But you can pre-order it in
for Kindle.
Kindle on Amazon. So go to Amazon, type in Kurt Schlichter and books, and you will find it. So,
okay.
Well, Los Angeles, Silver Bullets on a Sunset Strip.
Very, very fun story.
It is a fun story.
I like it
a
lot.
If this wasn't a current events podcast, I would interview you about the book.
Oh, okay. Well, since it is, we're not going to.
This will minimize your obligation to talk.
Yay.
Which makes you happy. So much stuff going on. I think, and I write about it at Town Hall, and the VIP is going to have it, and I got one coming Monday. But let me sum it up. I think we're doing just fine. And a lot of people are getting kind of freaked out about the legal stuff and go, why won't Trump ignore the Supreme Court? And we've talked about that. And his strategy is, I'm not going to change the subject to ignoring the Supreme Court. I'm going to essentially allow these idiots to force the Supreme Court to get in, rein the bit, and thereby create some precedent that's going to cause problems for them. Now, there has been some stuff in the last few days that some people are going, the Supreme Court's going against Trump. Most of it's procedural stuff. And it's really in the weeds stuff. Here's the thing you got to understand. The leftist district judges are ignoring normal procedure. In response, Trump is ignoring normal procedure. He's also being very passive aggressive about a lot of the stuff. You know, well, you didn't give me a written order. You gave me an oral order. And I found case law that says I don't have to do what you say orally, just what you say in writing. Right. Okay. In normal litigation, you're not going to do that. Okay. Let me just tell you, after 30 years of litigating in federal court, you're going to listen to what judge says and do it. But when you're a co-equal branch, maybe you're not. What Trump is not saying is, I'm not going to do it, and making that the story. And, Roberts, along with Amy Cohen Barrett, and when it's convenient, and only when it's convenient, the three liberal justices are being very sticklers for procedure. And, we're not going to intervene to allow an appeal of a temporary restraining order. Okay. See, this is where we get into the weeds, and I will descend into the weeds briefly. Okay? Because so you understand why this stuff's out. When someone comes in with a petition to a judge, and this is not common, to get the judge to order another party to do something or to do something, initially, The first thing they seek is what's called a temporary restraining order to keep everything the same. That is, no party changes where they are right this minute. Okay? That is a temporary restraining order, right? You are ordered not to do anything to change anything for the next, you know, 5 or 6 days, or maybe up to 2 weeks. It's a temporary order. It gives time for the parties to fully brief and the court to fully consider what's called an injunction. Now, an injunction is different than a temporary restraining order. An injunction orders a party to do something affirmatively. You will do X, Y, and Z. Okay? Or you will not do X, Y, and Z. Okay? So, temporary restraining order isn't supposed to order you to do something. It's to order you to maintain the status quo temporarily until the judge can get the question fully briefed and make an informed decision with more of the facts. Because a temporary restraining order is, hey, it's an emergency. Tomorrow they're going to set fire to the Empire State Building. Okay, I'm giving you a temporary restraining order. Don't set fire to the Empire State Building. We'll get right back to you. An injunction can be appealed. That is, you can make an appeal up to the Court of Appeal, right? A district court, there's about 750 of them, takes up to one of the 12 district courts, or courts of appeal, right? And that's an appeal. And you can appeal an injunction. You cannot typically appeal a temporary restraining order, all right? Because it's temporary, and the courts don't want to be flooded with them. Now, this gets a little weird, okay? What the district courts are doing is using this loophole to their advantage. They are pushing the boundaries of what a proper temporary restraining order is. That is, they're maintaining the status quo suddenly becomes, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. And it's not going to be just a week. I'm going to make it 2 weeks. I'm going to extend it. Oh, and you can't appeal. Okay. So where this gets weird is something like a judge saying, hey, Article 2 branch, the presidency, me, a simple district court Article 3 judge, is ordering you to bring planes that are outside the United States, Air Force planes, back to the United States. Okay. So let's look at the problems with that. The first problem is, well, there's a number of problems. The first is, does the court have jurisdiction to do it? And the fact is, it doesn't. The Supreme Court said so. Supreme Court, when it ruled about a week ago, said no. What you're trying to do can only be done through what's called a habeas corpus petition. That has to be brought in the location where the person is. And the people left out of Texas, of course, they ran to a Washington, D.C. liberal judge who somehow got the emergency motion on Saturday night, even though he wasn't the emergency motion judge. Weird, huh? And he denies there was a shenanigans. Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so the first thing you do in a normal case is, do I have jurisdiction? Can I make any order at all? He didn't do that. He assumed he did. Second thing is standing. And in a lot of these cases, not necessarily that one, but a lot of these judges are not checking standing or not actually, are BSing standing. Standing is, have you directly suffered an injury redressable by the court?
Oh.
Okay. So if somebody runs you over, I can't sue, right? I can't sue the driver. I didn't suffer an injury. You could sue. You suffered an injury. I can't. Okay? So they're bullshitting often on standing and in this case on jurisdiction, right? Okay. Then they're making these temporary restraining orders that tell other branches what to do. Now that's a big deal. Now, temporary restraining orders are typically not appealable because they're between regular parties. you know, behind ABC Corporation and Joe Smith. Okay? This is completely different. This is a co-equal branch of government being restrained from its argument is we're being restrained from exercising core power.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't do that at all. That requires immediate relief. You can't just say, oh, for 2 weeks, you don't get to be president.
Yeah.
Okay? So that kind of, the rule about not appealing a temporary restraining order kind of really shouldn't apply in this situation. Okay? So that distinguishes it there. And the court and the various circuit courts and the Supreme Court have been issuing stays of these things. And that's weird.
And what does that mean?
Okay, they're doing, it's not appeals, they're applying for them. So it's not an appeal, it's an emergency application. Okay, and if this sounds like all confusing, it's confusing because it doesn't freaking exist. Okay, all this is complete nonsense. This never happens in real cases. Okay? You're looking at it going, none of this makes sense. Absolutely correct. Your gut instinct is exactly dead on. You are absolutely right. None of this makes sense. Look, more stuff's coming up. And the Supreme Court has agreed to take what's called cert, certiorari. That's how it agrees to hear a full appeal of a lower court ruling on a birthright citizenship case.
Oh, right.
And that will be argued in May. And the district court judge ruled there's no reasonable argument saying that birthright citizenship doesn't exist. Okay. First of all, it's never been brought to the court's attention in this context. There are some cases that are related. It's never been fully argued, fully briefed, fully developed. It is not so ridiculous and frivolous, right, that it should be laughed out of court. That being said, it's totally going to lose. And it's probably going to lose 9-0.
Yeah.
Okay. It just is. And I don't think the arguments for birthright citizenship are crazy, and I'm still open to them. You know, I'd like to see what's argued. Okay. But my gut tells me it's going to lose. And I think the Supreme Court's going to like to be able to rule against President Trump, particularly 9-0,
yeah,
on something where it has a leg to stand on. Where it is not, look, it is not crazy to say the Constitution says there is birthright citizenship, okay? You don't have to like it. I don't particularly like it. I think there are arguments against it, but neither argument's crazy.
Yeah.
This is quintessentially the kind of thing.
I think it's crazy. I mean, from what I understood.
Yeah. You know, you read the 14th Amendment, and I think you can not be a blithering idiot and come to either conclusion. And I think the stronger one, based on what I know now, and, you know, how courts typically rule, for instance, what happens to about, 80 million people, you know, who were born here to parents who were not citizens.
Or illegal.
What do they become, non-citizens?
Right.
Court wants to dive into that. Right?
Right.
And a lot of those people have been American citizens. They served in the military, paid taxes, they got passports. I mean.
Well, and also, if they're not a citizen here.
Where are they a citizen?
Right.
Great question. Do we have to go back and figure, oh, your mom came from Bolivia, your father came from Botswana.
Right, but will those countries then offer or give them, grant
yeah,
them?
It's just, or are they going to say, yeah, it was absolutely wrong, and going forward, we're not going to do it anymore. Well, that's not consistent, is it? It's going to be very hard
to
rule against it. I think
something needs to be changed. But,
I
think Congress has to do that, right?
Well, Congress in the states, because it has to be constitutional, because it's 14th Amendment. And this is exactly the kind of question the Supreme Court should be taking up. and it should have serious arguments. And we're going to see, look, I think Alito and Thomas have a substantial chance of coming down for birthright citizenship. A substantial chance, not guaranteed. But I think they have a very, and if I was Justice Roberts, and it was a 9-0 opinion, I'd assign it to Thomas. Because, you know, if Clarence Thomas stands up and says, okay, you guys, birthright citizenship's a thing under the Constitution. You want to change it, change the Constitution. All of us are kind of going to have to go, well, you know, it's Thomas, man. He ain't soft.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna listen to him. So that would be a smart thing. It would also be a first smart thing that Justice Roberts has done in a long time. Because he's really been fucking that chicken, as they say. Fucking that chicken. Good night, chicken. But there are other cases coming up. And a lot of these things are insane. There was one judge who said, well, you know, I'm making you rehire people, and you can't assign, and you can't limit what work they get to do.
What?
And it's like, wait a minute, what? Even if you had a right to have them rehired, which I, no, you can't, the executive can't assign them what work to do. Who the fuck could?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy. And a lot of these things are, look, what we need are some rulings pushing back on it, on these things. And we're slowly getting, you know, most of them are going Trump's way eventually so far. But Roberts needs to understand very, very, very clearly there is no end to this where Donald Trump says, well, I guess I don't get to be president. I guess 750 district court judges get to micromanage every aspect of the executive branch under color of bullshit legal arguments.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the same kind of shit that goes on, well, in Israel, which has a Supreme Court that presumes to run and everything. And, you know, Trump's going to look at that. Eventually, you know, if Roberts doesn't get a hold of this, Trump's going to say, no. And the passive aggressive is just going to be aggressive. I'm just not doing it. You don't have a right to tell me what to do. All these fuckers are fired. I'm going to do what I want. You can hold me in contempt. Who are you going to get to arrest me? And then there's that Judge Boasberg guy whose contempt thing has been stayed, as I last heard. But if he was going to hold Trump in contempt, or somebody in the Trump administration for contempt, over not turning around airplanes based on oral order, the Court of Appeals wisely stayed all that nonsense for now. But if he wasn't, you know, Trump would just go, oh, well, he issued a contempt against, I don't know, Marco Rubio. Yeah, I pardoned him.
Okay.
Yeah, it's done. It's over. But there's no situation where Trump says, I'm sorry, but these judges have just decided to seize power they don't have, and I'm going to roll over and take it. He is not rolling over and taking it right now. He is pursuing an aggressive litigation strategy. I think it's a good one. I think it's going to end up with a very strong precedent in his favor for doing things he wants to do in the future. So don't panic. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. Look at your 401k. How fucked is our 401k? Back, back! It's the chicken.
I've heard some people saying, well, if we allow Trump, I guess, to do these things, and the Democrats, when they're in power, they're going to do it. And I'm like, aren't they? Don't they already?
Yes, they already do. Oh,
if they get away with it.
Well, this reminds. I'll get to terrorists in a minute. This reminds me of the norms guys.
Right.
Well, Republicans are breaking norms. Okay. Do you have an understanding what their argument is for why they're breaking norms? Well, they say the Democrats are, but that's whataboutism. Okay. So your proposal is Democrats break the norms and get rewarded for doing it, right? We maintain those norms as the guys, you know, treating us like that chicken.
Thank you for not saying.
Would like, right?
Yes.
And if we only maintain the norms harder, eventually the Democrats will, what, see the error of their ways and start adopting the norms again? Or continue to take the benefit being able to break the norms without retaliation. I'm wondering, you know, they're all like, well, you know, I'm a Reagan Republican and I would never stop. Just freaking stop. Okay. First of all, Ronald Reagan stopped being president almost 40 years ago. Nobody likes Reagan more than me. It was 40 years ago. It's a different fight. Okay. And Ronald Reagan was a lot of things. He wasn't a freaking sissy. He believed in the power of punishment and retaliation. I don't know where these alleged Reagan Republicans said, well, someone can screw us over, but we're not going to do anything about it. Have you ever met Ronald freaking Reagan? Okay. The Lebanese scumbags, you know, killed our people. We sent a freaking battleship to shell them with 16-inch cannons. Okay. Guy believed in retaliation. Not enough for my taste, but you get the point. I don't understand these guys' theory. And they can't explain it either. When you go, okay, if we start observing the norms, what happens? Well, you're observing the norms. We're back to normalcy. Wait a minute. What? How's it normal when they're not obeying the norms? Yes, but you are, don't you see? And I think a lot of the reason is they're terrified because if they admit the norms have been broken and that it's become a power struggle, right? And it's only going to be a power struggle, and it's going to be a power struggle until somebody loses the fight and says, wait a minute, you know, we have to have new terms. Right?
Yeah.
They have to fight. And they don't want to do that. They have this bizarre, there's this bizarre sissiness among so many Republicans. I do understand it. You met a lot of the sissy cons, right?
Yeah.
How many of them do you think have ever been in a fist fight?
I never.
Most of them are not. I'll tell you, most are vets. You know, guys like me are like, freaking airborne all the way. Let's go.
There's a lot of arrogance there, though.
Well, they're just weak. And they don't have a good answer to... The thing is, like everything else, norms are a feature of a system. Right?
Right.
And a system provides certain obligations, or requires certain obligations, but provides certain benefits, which is why you participate in it, right? When one party isn't participating in the system and doing the thing, the system, you know, it makes the system worth participating in for the other parties, why then are we in the system? It is not an end in itself to observe dead norms. And it's so, I don't get it. And they have this like high-handed, well, you know, you'll just burn everything down. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, you remember a Vietnam guy who said we have to burn the village to save it?
Yeah.
Well, we ain't either burn the village or let the fucking communists have it. I'll burn it. You can do what you want. And I know what, and your guys like you did, which is why we lost in Vietnam. You know, if we did it my way, we wouldn't have lost. You're never better off being a sissy. I interviewed Admiral Stockdale, James Stockdale, one of the greatest heroes in American military history. Just had a Medal of Honor lying around the house. I came to interview him in college at Colorado. He ran Ross Perot's vice president, and you know that's what actually got Dennis Miller based, because Dennis Miller was. I was looking at this guy, and this guy's an American hero. He's a legend. I mean, they wanted to use, he got captured. They wanted to use him for propaganda. He took a stool and beat the shit out of his face so they couldn't film it. I mean, he's a fucking legend. Nicest guy. And, he said, yeah, I'm sitting in a Hanoi Hilton. And, of course, we were, you know, hands off of, Hanoi. And, you know, Johnson would do it. Nixon hadn't done it. It's 1972 and Nixon wanted to get out. And they're dicking around at the, Paris peace talks. And finally, Nixon says, okay, I'm done playing. He sends the B-52s over freaking Hanoi. And he mines the harbor. And he said, you know, that night when we heard those bombs going off, the guards about shit themselves and we got better food the next day. They were like, you're going home. Here's your food. Literally. You know, mercy to your enemies can sometimes be cruelty to your allies. I'm a Jacksonian. I want to win. I'm not interested in being loved. I'm not interested in arbitrary rules or guidelines. If you put me in a position where I have to fight, I win, you lose, then I go home. And, you know, I got my, you know, I reverse your stakes. But, and if you don't start a fight, I'm never going to start one with you. I have no interest in doing that. I don't want your land. I don't want anything from you. But if you screw with me, I'm going to kill everybody. You and everyone around you are going to die. So don't do it. And that's the quickest way to end a fight is a knockout, right? Mike Tyson walks out, knocks the guy on his ass, fight over. That's the thing that could happen to the guy. You know what? I got 10 rounds with Mike Tyson. Okay? You'll be drinking out of a sippy cup. Better you just get your ass beat once. And these guys, I mean, I know. Trucks! Yay! So it is, So anyway, that's about the norms. Now the terrorist thing. What happened to terrorists? I thought that was the biggest story of the year. Then suddenly it became, you know, MS-13 Maryland man, who of course was a wife beater, which is my favorite part. And somebody, even ABC couldn't help it. It was like, so, did your husband beat the shit out of you? And she's like, he's a good man. Yes. Yeah. He's a strong man with a hard fist. I love the little thing. I think the Democrats are like, all right, America's going to love us for standing firm for the illegal alien gangbanger wife beater being brought back to the United States. That's what the hill we're going to die on, guys. All right. Don't care which hill it is.
Well, they keep lying and saying he wasn't illegal.
Well, that's...
I keep seeing that.
There's... Oh, my God. There's... It's weird how blatant the lies are. He never had any due process. He had a immigration hearing, and he had an appeal. Yeah, two. Now, if your argument is, well, they weren't really good enough, that's a different argument. Well, the due process he had was not... You know,
sufficient.
Was an undue or whatever. I don't know. And they're just like militant about the lie. And it's like, you do understand that no one trusts you about anything at all because you are willing to lie to our face. You get that, right? And they're like, no, shut up. You're a transphobe.
He never proved he was a gang member.
Oh, my favorite is, there's no evidence he's a gang member. In fact, there's significant evidence. Yes! The judge cited it in the due process ruling. She literally wrote about why there's evidence. I just find it bizarre. Because I'm thinking, does it work?
I think it does.
I think it works if you want it to work.
I mean, I still keep seeing USA Today.
But USA Today is part of it.
Right, right. But every day I open up my email account and USA Today is up there. They're like, oh, the man who was...
But they're regime media. They're part of the liars. Do normal people?
I think they do. I hear it enough.
No, first of all...
People are confused.
I'll tell you.
Because they hear these people say, oh, the guy should not have been sent. He is a legal resident. I mean, I keep hearing that and seeing...
That's all a lie.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I think people are confused. They don't know...
Well, here's the thing. It's been this... You know, Marilyn Mann thing's been going on.
And I love that he's the...
His kid would be Marilyn Mann's son.
Oh, very funny.
It's been going on about 2 weeks. We've been in Houston, fairly liberal area in Houston, comparatively. I mean, a lot of flags in our street. You know, Texas liberal's a little different than California liberal. I have heard exactly zero people talking about it.
Yeah.
Your father asked me about it.
Yeah.
And he agrees with me.
Oh, yeah.
But no, literally no one else has been talking about it. And I just think, you know, I just find it bizarre.
So, yeah. And I wanted to change the subject.
You wanted to change the subject?
Was it the Boston mayor?
Oh,
Boston. Money from a supposed Chinese.
Oh yeah, she's scum.
So what happened? What happens to somebody?
I don't know.
Does anything?
I don't know.
Are there any resources?
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know anything about that. I just know that it would not surprise me. Anyway, I think that's enough. We are after 15 or 16 hours. We are finally near our hotel. Go get follow me on Twitter, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday are my town halls. Of course, Friday is my stream of consciousness. Get all the Kelly Turnbull books and The Attack. And what book?
Oh, Lost Angeles, Silver Bullets on the Sunset Strip.
Booyah! Yeah, that's a good one. Lost Angeles, Silver Bullets on the Sunset Strip. Kind of noir, little detective-y, very funny.
Fantasy.
If you like,
fantasy.
He's got some fantasy stuff. If you like communists, this ain't, you ain't gonna like this book. Cause, we take it to the Pinkos. Take it to them hard. Just the way they like it. All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye.